For the next LOS, we are required to describe characteristics and risks of commercial mortgage-backed securities. Commercial mortgage-backed securities, or CMBS, are backed by income-producing real estate, typically in the form of multifamily apartments, warehouses, and other industrial-use property, shopping centers, office buildings, healthcare facilities, senior housing, or hotel and resort properties. An important difference between residential and commercial MBS is the obligations of the borrowers of the underlying loans. Residential MBS loans are repaid by homeowners. Commercial MBS loans are repaid by real estate investors, who in turn rely on tenants and customers to provide the cash flow to repay the mortgage loan. Commercial MBS mortgages are structured as non-recourse loans, meaning the lender can only look to the collateral as a means to repay a delinquent loan if the cash flows from the property are insufficient. In contrast, a residential mortgage lender with recourse can go back to the borrower personally in an attempt to collect any excess of the loan amount above the net proceeds from foreclosing on and selling the property. For these reasons, the analysis of CMBS securities focuses on the credit risk of the property and not the credit risk of the borrower. The analysis of CMBS structures focuses on two key ratios to assess credit risk. Debt service coverage ratio is a basic cash flow coverage ratio of the amount of cash flow from a commercial property available to make debt service payments compared to the required debt service cost. The ratio is calculated as net operating income divided by debt service. Net operating income is calculated after the deduction for real estate taxes, but before any relevant income taxes. This ratio, which is typically between 1 and 2, indicates greater protection to the lender when it is higher. Debt service coverage ratios below 1 indicate that the borrower is not generating sufficient cash flow to make the debt payments and is likely to default. Remember, the higher the better for this ratio from the perspective of the lender and the MBS investor. Loan-to-value ratio compares the loan amount on the property to its current fair market or appraisal value. The lower this ratio, the more protection the mortgage lender has in making the loan. Loan-to-value ratios determine the amount of collateral available above the loan amount to provide a cushion to the lender should the property be foreclosed on and sold. Remember, the lower the better for this ratio from the perspective of the lender and the MBS investor. The basic CMBS structure is created to meet the risk and return needs of the CMBS investor. As with residential MBS securities, rating organizations assess the credit risk of each CMBS issue and determine the appropriate credit rating. Each CMBS is segregated into tranches. Losses due to default are first absorbed by the tranche with the lowest priority. Sometimes this most junior tranche is not rated and is then referred to as the equity tranche, residential tranche, or first loss tranche. As with any fixed-rate security, call protection is valuable to the bondholder. In the case of MBS, call protection is equivalent to prepayment protection, restrictions on the early return of principal through prepayments. CMBS provide call protection in two ways: loan-level call protection provided by the terms of the individual mortgages, and call protection provided by the CMBS structure. There are several means of creating loan-level call protection. Prepayment lockout. For a specific period of time, typically 2 to 5 years, the borrower is prohibited from prepaying the mortgage loan. Defeasance. Should the borrower insist on making principal payments on the mortgage loan can be defeased. This is accomplished by using the prepaid principal to purchase a portfolio of government securities that is sufficient to make the remaining required payments on the CMBS. Given the high credit quality of government securities, defeased loans increase the credit quality of a CMBS loan pool. Prepayment penalty points. A penalty fee expressed in points may be charged to borrowers who prepay mortgage principal. Each point is 1% of the principal amount prepaid. Yield maintenance charges. The borrower is charged the amount of interest lost by the lender should the loan be prepaid. This make-whole charge is designed to make lenders indifferent to prepayment, as cash flows are equivalent at current market rates, whether the loan is prepaid or not. With all loan call protection programs, any prepayment penalties received are distributed to the CMBS investors in a manner determined by the structure of the CMBS issue. To create CMBS-level call protection, CMBS loan pools are segregated into tranches with a specific sequence of repayment. Those tranches with a higher priority will have a higher credit rating than lower priority tranches because loan defaults will first affect the lower tranches. A wide variety of features can be used to provide call protection to the more senior tranches of the CMBS. Commercial mortgages are typically amortized over a period longer than the loan term. For example, prepayments for a 20-year commercial mortgage may be determined based on a 30-year amortization schedule. At the end of the loan term, the loan will still have principal outstanding that needs to be paid. This amount is called a balloon payment. If the borrower is unable to arrange refinancing to make this payment, the borrower is in default. This possibility is called balloon risk. The lender will be forced to extend the term of the loan during a workout period, during which time the borrower will be charged a higher interest rate. Because balloon risk entails extending the term of the loan, it is also referred to as extension risk for CMBS. Next, we have an LOS asking us to describe types and characteristics of non-mortgage asset-backed securities, including the cash flows and risks of each type. In addition to those backed by mortgages, there are ABS that are backed by various types of financial assets, including small business loans, accounts receivable, credit card receivables, automobile loans, home equity loans, and manufactured housing loans. Each of these types of ABS has different risk characteristics, and their structures vary to some extent as well. Here we explain the characteristics of two types: ABS backed by automobile loans and ABS backed by credit card receivables. These two have an important difference in that automobile loans are fully amortizing, while credit card receivables are non-amortizing. Auto loan-backed securities are backed by loans for automobiles. Auto loans have maturities from 36 to 72 months. Issuers include the financial subsidiaries of auto manufacturers, commercial banks, credit unions, finance companies, and other small financial institutions. The cash flow components of auto loan-backed securities include interest payments, scheduled principal payments, and prepayments. Auto loans prepay if the cars are sold, traded in, or repossessed. Prepayments also occur if the car is stolen or wrecked and the loan is paid off from insurance proceeds. Finally, the borrower may simply use excess cash to reduce or pay off the loan balance. Automobile loan ABS all have some sort of credit enhancement to make them attractive to institutional investors. Many have a senior subordinated structure with a junior tranche that absorbs credit risk. One or more internal credit enhancement methods, a reserve account, an excess interest spread, or over-collateralization, is also often present in these structures. Just as with mortgages, prime loans refer to those made to borrowers with higher credit ratings, and subprime loans refers to those made to borrowers with low credit ratings. Credit card receivable-backed securities are ABS backed by pools of credit card debt owed to banks, retailers, travel and entertainment companies, and other credit card issuers. The cash flow to a pool of credit card receivables includes finance charges, annual fees, and principal repayments. Credit cards have periodic payment schedules, but because their balances are revolving and therefore non-amortizing, the principal amount is maintained for a period of time. Interest on credit card ABS is paid periodically, but no principal is paid to the ABS holders during the lockout period, which may last from 18 months to 10 years after the ABS are created. If the underlying credit card holders make principal payments during the lockout period, these payments are used to purchase additional credit card receivables, keeping the overall value of the receivables pool relatively constant. Once the lockout period ends, principal payments are passed through to security holders. Credit card ABS typically have a rapid amortization provision that provides for earlier amortization of principal when it is necessary to preserve the credit quality of the securities. Interest rates on credit card ABS are sometimes fixed, but often they are floating. Interest payments may be monthly, quarterly, or for longer periods. Our last LOS for this topic review is to describe collateralized debt obligations, including their cash flows and risks. A collateralized debt obligation, or CDO, is a structured security issued by a special purpose entity for which the collateral is a pool of debt obligations. When the collateral securities are corporate and emerging market debt, they are called collateralized bond obligations. Collateralized loan obligations are supported by a portfolio of leveraged bank loans. Unlike the ABS we have discussed, CDOs do not rely on interest payments from the collateral pool. CDOs have a collateral manager who buys and sells securities in the collateral pool in order to generate the cash to make the promised payments to investors. Structured finance CDOs are those where the collateral is ABS, RMBS, or other CDOs, and CMBS. Synthetic CDOs are those where the collateral is a portfolio of credit default swaps on structured securities. CDOs issue three classes or tranches of bonds: senior bonds, mezzanine bonds, and subordinated bonds, sometimes called the equity or residual tranche. The subordinated tranche has characteristics more similar to those of equity investments than bond investments. In creating a CDO, the structure must be able to offer an attractive return on the subordinated tranche after accounting for the required yields on the senior and mezzanine bond classes. An investment in the equity or residual tranche can be viewed as a leveraged investment where funds raised from selling the senior and mezzanine tranches are used to purchase the debt securities in the CDO's collateral pool. To the extent the collateral manager meets his goal of earning returns in excess of the promised return to CDO investors, these excess returns are paid to the CDO manager and the equity tranche. The CDO structure typically is to issue a floating rate senior tranche that is 70-80% of the total and a smaller mezzanine tranche that pays a fixed rate of interest. If the securities in the collateral pool pay a fixed rate of interest, the collateral manager may enter into an interest rate swap that pays a floating rate of interest in exchange for a fixed rate of interest in order to make the collateral yield more closely match the funding costs in an environment of changing interest rates. The term arbitrage CDO is used for CDOs structured to earn returns from the spread between funding costs and portfolio returns. The collateral manager may use interest earned on portfolio securities, cash from maturing portfolio securities, and cash from the sale of portfolio securities to cover the promised payments to holders of the CDO's senior and mezzanine bonds.